I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so today is a day. Lions back at work. You know, the Minnesota game coming up on Sunday. Corey Woods, a writer for MLive, has some quotes here regarding Jameson Williams. Now, Jameson Williams is interesting. Morning show got a call today, this morning, about I think somebody wanted to trade for a number two wide receiver because they didn't have one, in their opinion. We had a call today about J-Mo having to get the football more. And I'm intrigued by this a little bit because I think we all see the talent is there. So far this year, the production is pacing short of what he did last year. And you kind of assume every year a guy is going to get, you know, that's talented, is going to get better and do more. There's also sort of this paradox of the Lions offense having so many weapons, there's too many mouths to feed, and on a kind of on a week in, week out basis, you know, there's, hey, what's happened to Laporta? Hey, David Montgomery needs to be more involved. But now, as we're seven games in, the numbers are down for Jameson Williams, and the question is there an issue here, or is there something that needs to be done? So, it's led to some really, I think, sort of extreme opinions from the listeners, from trading for a number two wide receiver to others that just don't think he's very good, to some that think the Lions need to force feed him the football. Here's what the wide receiver coach, Scotty Montgomery, said today as he met with the media. There's no middle ground, only a ceiling. We got to get to that ceiling. Corey Woods writes, they discuss that they're working on getting him more opportunities, said they can put him in better positions. Montgomery continued on Jameson Williams, highlighting his maturity on the sidelines, and stated that he wasn't ornery about getting more opportunities. That would signal complacency. They don't really have a Jameson Williams problem or challenge. I'm interpreting this as, there's a lot of mouths to feed, and it just hasn't been his day yet. Like, I feel like his day is going to come. I don't worry about J-Mo or getting him a football, because I feel like if the more games we play, the more opportunities he will be able to cash in on. Am I wrong here? Do they need to do more?
You're not wrong, but I'm going to help everybody out here. I just thought of something and looked it up, and it's going to back what I'm going to say, so I love it.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had many plays. The first game of the season, Jared Goff was 31 of 39. Since then, here are the attempts he's had. 28, 28, 27, 23, 29, 29. Jared Goff's not stepping back there and throwing about 40 times a game where you can spread it out to everybody and get everybody, you know, eight targets. That's not happening. Okay, so if he's going to step back and throw, and the majority of his targets are going to go to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yep, got it. But he's not throwing the ball more than 30 times a game. He's only done it once this year. It was the first game of the season. Now, when those numbers go up, and they will go up, from time to time, we're going to see him. He's going to throw the ball plenty. Then you're going to see that jump. But until then, you're not likely to see it.
Interesting.
So that's 16 times 3 is, 480, and then you add another. So it's like roughly 500 attempts in a season for a 17-game season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did I just do the math correctly there?
I think you're probably in the neighborhood, yeah.
Right. So that last year he threw it 539 times. The year before was 605. The year before was 587. So those are the 3 years he's had Jameson Williams, and he's thrown the ball well over 500 times in all 3 years. This year, he's on pace for roughly 500.
So here's what's interesting. Now, the Lions have had a bye. Many teams have had a bye at this point. Only three teams in the NFL have thrown the football less than the Lions this year. Lions have 204 attempts. Bills 203, Seahawks 196, Ravens 185. So it's actually a decent point by you that...
You seem surprised.
Well, no. I mean, I hadn't given... The point is something I had given zero thought to. Like the idea that they haven't run a lot of plays.
So when you look at the targets for the Lions, St. Brown has 61 targets. Second is Laporta with 36. Third is Jamo with 30. Fourth is Gibbs with 28. Those are your four weapons.
Yeah.
And one of them gets targeted twice as much as the other guys, you know, when you look at an individual basis there. I'm okay with that. The 5-2 record tells me I should be okay with that. And if anybody's going to pipe up and say anything on the Lions bench, all they have to do is point up and say, we're 5-2. That's what matters. Mm-hmm. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. We're trying to win every game that we can. Sunday's another opportunity. We'll see where the chips fall. Remember when Dan Campbell was talking about we got to get Montgomery more carries?
Yeah.
And what happened? It was all about Jameer Gibbs.
It was still a Jameer Gibbs game, yeah. As it should have been, because Gibbs was a good matchup.
Exactly. When you get the hot hand or the matchup that you prefer, you're going to go with that. So there will be times when the Lions decide, okay, this is a game, this is a matchup, but we have to take advantage of this. And maybe that happens Sunday against the Vikings. I don't know. I haven't looked too closely to see what the Vikings defense is going to present in terms of challenges. But Jameson Williams will have plenty of games where he's going to get targeted, you know, 5 to 10 times in a game, or 5 to 8 times in a game. It's probably more accurate than that. And if he's unhappy with it...
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well,
he doesn't sound to me.
That's the thing, right? Yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
So, because he understands. Jameson Williams' effect on this team is way more. It's well beyond how many catches is he getting. How many balls are they throwing in his direction? It's how good is the offense because he is out on the field, because he spreads the field and forces the safeties to stay back another 10 yards or commit one of those safeties to go to his side of the field, because that's Jameson Williams and he's too damn fast and we can't let him get behind us.
Very valid point.
And he blocks. He's an outstanding blocker when it comes to the running game or when it comes to yards after catch for a wide receiver. J-Mo is willing to throw his body out there and take somebody out for the betterment of the other player on his team to get a few more yards. He's a complete player.
248-539-9797. Jay in White Lake. Hi, Jay.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
All right, Jay.
Hey, so this Jameson Williams thing, I mean, I get where some of these people are coming from, but I think it's kind of silly. This isn't youth football. Like, Dan Campbell's job is not to make the parents happy that their kid gets a couple of snaps or whatever, and everybody's included. This is the NFL, and the job of the Lions overall as a team is to win games. And I don't, like you guys said, J-Mo's not coming out all over social media or whatever, having fits that he's not getting fed the ball enough. I think it's kind of silly. He's a multidimensional player. Like you guys just said, the guy blocks like crazy. I think we're getting good things from him, and he's going to get the ball. But you're basing your offense on the team you play against. It's a pretty simple theory when it comes to sports. And I guess I don't understand, like, Like, nobody, the Lions are not responsible for your fantasy league numbers. Right. Or whatever.
Well, that's something to keep in mind. Yeah, that's something.
Or your in-game parlay.
Yeah, we have to account for that. Might be where some of these calls are coming from.
I agree. I think that is what they're coming from. But at the end of the day, that's not the responsibility of the Lions organization. Their responsibility is to win football games and get as far deep into the playoffs and possibly the Super Bowl as possible. That's it. That's job one.
You know what? It's funny because we just read those quotes from Scotty Montgomery. And my number one takeaway, because he goes, oh, there's a ceiling. We got to reach that ceiling. And yes, we're trying to put him in better positions. My number one takeaway isn't any of that. My number one takeaway is he's not been bitching.
No, he hasn't.
He's doing his job. He's playing his role, and he's fine with it. Now, I'm sure he wants to catch the football, but he's not going to let it distract from what the team is doing.
I'll give you another example statistically of how you can tell that he is on the minds of defensive coordinators. Okay, that they're absolutely paying attention to him. He has 3 carries this season, right? Give him the end around. We see this happen from time to time.
Yep,
he has 1 yard.
1 yard rushing?
1 yard rushing on 3 carries this year. Why is that? Because they are paying attention to where number one is on the field at all times.
248-539-9797. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox and phone calls.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing, Gator, here's an eternal topic when it comes to football. I think, I don't know, I don't want to say it's overrated. I don't think it's overrated. I think fans want your team to go deep at least twice a series.
Yeah, sure.
The deep ball is so much fun. However, I have a buddy of mine that I swear to God, all he did was watch highlights. So we never throw the ball deep. And I'm like, it's because all you do is watch highlights. And what do they show in highlights? They show a lot of deep balls. And so you think everybody else is out there throwing the ball deep all the time. And the reality is you're only watching the highlights. But, you know, J-Mo is a deep threat, right? So people want to see J-Mo in the deep ball. They always want to see the deep ball. But I don't really know if we have an issue here other than we hear from callers, and we did today, and the morning show did today, about J-Mo when it got addressed today in the news conference. And I said, yeah, there's a ceiling there. We're trying to get to it. 248-539-9797. Keith in Oxford, you're next. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, hey, I think, one, the fan base is spoiled by Megatron, but they fail to remember that he was really the only weapon we had. This team's loaded with offensive weapons. That's number one. Number two, this coaching staff, unlike other coaching staff, seems to have a better ability to plan to attack opponents' defenses that we haven't seen before either. So they're going to use whatever strength they have to beat that team. And if it's J-Mo that day, then it's J-Mo. Like last week was Jamari Gibbs. He was the strength. When we ran it that way.
You know, it's there's only so many plays to go around. You can only get so many people involved. I swear to God, we're doing this show, and we're going to have a JMO game in the next few weeks just because that's the way game is. Somebody's going to decide. Somebody's going to decide. You know what's not going to beat us today? Amon-Ra's not going to beat us today, and JMO's going to go off.
That's exactly true. That's what this team, the coaching staff, has been able to do this. If you watch this staff under against most staffs we've had, they seem to have a really good ability at planning on how to attack.
Thank you for the phone call.
And it works.
Thank you, Keith. 248-539-9797.
It is kind of crazy when you think back with the Stafford days with Calvin Johnson.
Yep.
It literally was just Calvin. I mean, even the year Stafford threw for 5,000 yards, Calvin had 1,681 receiving yards, and the Lions didn't have anybody else with more than 800.
Yeah.
With 5,000 yards passing. I mean, they had other weapons, so to speak, and they spread it out, but there was nobody that, like, jumped off the page like clearly Calvin did.
Chris and Davison. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Yeah, so I completely agree with the last two callers, actually. I mean, so we've had the Laporta game. We've had the Gibbs game. It happens all the time. It's not like we've had, like, a ton of JMO games last year. He's going to get it, just like you just said, Doug. There's going to be – we got to stop St. Brown, so – here comes the focus, and we're going to see JMO have a big game. I guess my big thing is a lot of this kind of, to me, points out towards, like, the parlays and the betting, like you said. People, my fantasy team this, my fantasy team that. And that kind of bugs me. I don't do any of those things. I'm 40. All my friends around me do. They think I'm nuts for not doing that. But it also keeps me to me, it makes me feel like I'm a much, like, more positive, like, fan for my whole team. Not just for stats and stuff, but yeah, I do. I think JMO's going to have a couple of those big games, and that's just how the team's built. Like the last caller said, it's not always going to be one person, and I love that about this team.
There are moments in time where I think I must be out of touch, but let me ask a question of everybody here in the room, and that includes you, Chris and Davison, and Kang. I want your opinion. Do you think people would rather their fantasy teams win and JMO has big numbers, even if it costs the Lions? Is there a lot of guys out there? Well, I know you're going to be a no, Chris. You don't even play. But do you think people are like that?
I do. I do think that. I've seen that. I've seen people say, hey, I just need my defense to shut this team down. Unfortunately, this team happens to be, say, the Lions or whatever else. And I'm like, how can you do that? I mean, what are you really winning here?
Gator Kang?
What's the question you want to ask?
If people would like their fantasy team to win, even if it came at the expense of the Lions.
I can't answer because I haven't played fantasy football in forever. I mean, that's not the way I'm wired ever.
So. Kang, you roam amongst them.
Yeah, and there are absolutely people that root for their fantasy team over the team. It's because it's benefiting their pocketbook right now. You know what I mean? Like, most people play fantasy for donations or whatever you want to call it. Or fantasy or daily fantasy. That's available on all your apps now. I'm not saying the majority of people are like that, Doug. But there are a portion for sure that are rooting for their fantasy team. The last game Jameson Williams played, he had 0 receptions for 0 yards. Okay, that it's stuck in people's mind. I think that's why this is coming up, recency bias. The game before that, though, against the Chiefs, again, which they lost, by the way, he had 6 catches. So I think I would love for Jameson Williams to hit a ceiling, as Scotty Montgomery said today, too, because I think we know that ceiling is very high. But we also can't ignore the fact that they're averaging 30.7 points per game, third in the league, just behind Dallas, who's 30.8, by the way. And they have a good record. And I think it goes back to really what Gator brought up earlier. They don't have enough plays. Because if you look at their yardage totals aren't nearly as much as the top two offensive teams. Colts and Cowboys. They have a ton of yardage as well with the points. The Lions have the points. They don't have the yardage, and I think it's lack of opportunities.
Yeah, they're not running many plays.
Hey, crazy. 248-539-9797. Pedro in Port Huron. What's up, Pedro?
Hey, guys. I think right, JMO is kind of lacking a little bit is this isn't Jared Goff's slander at all, right? Because Jared Goff's great at a lot of things. But would you say the weakness of his game is the deep ball, right? That's what he's... And I'm not saying we need to do it more, but I just think his weakness is JMO's strength. right? Because Jameis is a deep threat. That's what he is ultimately. And that's where Jared Goff struggles a little bit. So I just think that's why sometimes he's like an afterthought. That's why LaPorta is such a good target for him. St. Brown's such a good target because they work the middle of the field, that intermediate stuff. Where Jared Goff, I don't even know how many passes he's even thrown more than 15 yards down the field. But I think that's just why he doesn't get the ball as much and as many yards.
I think there are other factors at play here that we don't look at maybe as much, and that is, you know, the difference in the offensive line this year and years past. Does Goff have as much time to set up and throw the ball deep? I'm not sure if the number is actually going to bear that out, that he doesn't throw the ball downfield as much as you I probably throws it more downfield than you think he does. But Jameson Williams has developed into a receiver, not just a deep threat. He's a guy that they drag across the field too, and they want to get that matchup. And there is nothing I think that Jared Goff would rather do than get the ball in the hands of the guy who is the biggest playmaker. But you need time to do that, and you need circumstances to do
that. I think the difference is I wouldn't disagree necessarily with Pedro. The wording I would use, he thinks he struggles. I think he's so good at all the rest that that stuff is his strength. Maybe throwing the deep ball isn't his strength, but I don't think he struggles with it. I just think they take advantage of what he does better.
And maybe this is a question to ask him tomorrow, and because struggle is a tough word to
use.
But
because we've seen him do it.
Yeah. But and I'm not even looking at the deep pass. I would say I think it's a challenge for him to meet the challenge of throwing to a guy that's got that kind of speed. And it bears out statistically. If you look at the number of receptions compared to targets, if I'm not mistaken, J-Mo is way down the list when it comes to that percentage.
But those passes are low percentage passes too, right?
But my point is they're not all downfield trying to get him. I don't think it's a low percentage pass trying to hit.
I'm not speaking to J-Mo specifically. I'm speaking to what the caller said. He calls it, says he struggles. He's so good at the intermediate and short stuff that, when he throws the plays that have less of a chance of being completed, they're not, but that's true of everybody. 248-539-9797. Isaac in Royal Oak, you're next. Hi, Isaac.
Isn't it funny how times have changed for Lions fans? Do you remember what we used to complain or be stressed out about when we had Patricia and Quinn?
We used to be stressed out about stuff like they're winning too much and ruining their draft position.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of it was fun back in the day listening to you guys break down drafts before it was like Halloween. But, having said that, I don't think it's just money. Yes, he's getting paid, so he should be happy. But in today's day and age with the younger kids and social media and the clout, there is something to be said for when you're scoring touchdowns, you're the man, and hearing everybody cheer for you. I think it does something for ego. I mean, I'm 41. I'm not a professional athlete, and I've got an ego, So I just, an apprehensive Lions fan, I just want everyone to be happy, right? The greatest thing about this team is the culture and the team atmosphere, and I just want to make sure everybody's, happy at the dinner table and gets a chance to shine. So I would prefer, pretty soon here, let's let him blow up, have his day in the sun. But the Lions winning, he's not on my fantasy football team. I don't care about fantasy football. I just want the Lions to win and get to a Super Bowl, and Jameson Williams is going to be a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about it earlier. There hasn't been J-Mo publicly going off on social media. I think it's pretty clear he would want the football. Any player would want the football. But this is not a distraction to the season. Let's be clear.
No, it's not like it was A.J. Brown in Philadelphia that's been getting loud. And, Philadelphia's a really good team. Winning is the most important thing.
Talk some college football next. 97.1 The Ticket. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your phone calls. Ed's in Clarkston. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
All good, Ed. How are you, buddy?
Oh, not too bad. You guys were talking about J-Mo earlier and what a lot of people are calling a lack of production. One thing I've noticed is already this year, he's had, two or three drops, where last year he had three all season. Also, I've noticed they've opened up him to run different route trees, and it doesn't look like him and Jared Goff are always on the same page. Is it a lack of maybe confidence in Jared Goff not throwing to him as his first check down?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
I mean, when he had, what was it, five catches a couple weeks ago, they were all, you know, either just a slant or quick down and in, quick down and out. Really not a whole lot of options to the route, which seems like those he excels at. Even the announcers made a comment against Kansas City that he quit on a deep ball, just was running and just kind of slowed up and the ball sailed over his head. And I mean, it just, maybe the confidence isn't there when the number two receiver is Amon-Ra St. Brown and Goff knows, except for one time this year, he's going to catch the ball.
Well, St. Brown's number one receiver.
I know that, but I mean, on a certain play where they want to go deep.
Do you mean the number two option
number
on
two
a route?
Option. Okay,
okay. Amon-Ra's got three drops this year. J-Mo has two.
Right.
But now Amon-Ra's been thrown to a lot more. But look, I don't think they have a Jameson Williams problem. I think this is a problem that's created by fantasy football. I think this is a problem that's created by prop bets. I think this is a problem created by people who buy his jersey. And I think it's a problem created by the fact that they have so many weapons. He's going to have his game. I can almost guarantee in the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about J-Mo's big game. And it's going to come in the course of a natural football game where he just has his catches because it's a good matchup against a particular defense.
So St. Brown has caught 50 passes this year. 31 of them have gone for first downs. Sam LaPorta has caught 29 passes this year, 16 of them for first downs. Jahmyr Gibbs has caught 26 passes. 7 have been for first downs. Montgomery has caught 11, 6 for first downs. Jameson Williams has caught 17 passes this year. 14 of them are for first downs.
That's pretty good.
So, okay, maybe you're only seeing short passes thrown, but did they get the first down? Did they advance it for another four downs to go?
Jared Goff has one of the best. The Lions have one of the best yards after catch percentages in the National Football League. And it's because Goff hits you in stride. You don't have to slow down. You don't have to dive. You catch the ball in stride and you keep running. If you have to stop and jump or dive, you're not going to get as much yards after catch. And Jameson Williams is a big part of that. He's a guy that can take a 5-yard crossing route 80 yards.
Yes.
And I have full confidence that he will continue to do that. I just don't think many offenses have this many guys. And wasn't this last year? Didn't we do a LaPorta show about this time last year?
We may have. Sam got off to a slow start because he was hurt last year to begin the year. But I don't think this is not an issue.
I really don't particularly think it is.
I think if you do a deeper dive into the numbers, you can understand. Okay, if Jared Goff's only throwing a ball 28 times in a game, there's just less opportunities.
Gator, it's a final. The number one position of need on our Twitter poll today, what position do you want the Lions to address the most? Secondary, 42% of the vote. That continually climbed throughout the day. Defensive line, 31.8. Offensive line, 23.2. Other was 3.1%. So thank you everybody who voted in the poll and all of those of you that commented. We read many of the better comments on the air, but that's what it came in at, which I'm not gonna say I'm proud of our audience. I think they did a good job with this, but those are all areas that what we have to remember too is the price has to be right. You can shop for all the offensive linemen if you don't find a guy that's clearly better than Dan Skipper or Giovanni Manu, then you don't make a trade for an offensive lineman. That could be their top priority, but they might not have one better than what you got for sale. So there is that, and then there's also, I feel like there's a good probability that there would be defensive linemen available. It feels like the teams, now there's new news on Kayvon Thibodeau. Didn't you say, you were telling me during a break?
Mike Garofalo had a tweet that talked about, he had talked to a couple of teams that had inquired with the Giants about the availability of Kayvon Thibodeau, and they've been told that they're not interested in trading Kayvon. So people that want it, it's not going to happen. At least not Thibodeau's not going to happen. Would somebody else happen? That might be.
Here's the other thing about the National Football League that makes it so tough is I think a lot of organizations, if you're having a bad year, you don't want to trade anybody that could be a part of a good next year. Like Thibodeau's under contract for two more years, correct?
Yes, this year. And they picked up the fifth-year option for next year. So it's a year and a half.
All right, so you've got a player that could help them win next year. That's hard to pry that talented player out of their hands. So I'd like to see it, but not a huge surprise if he's not available. There's a lot of posturing, too. I'm not so naive to think that sometimes Gator teams might lie to you.
What?
They might say a player's not available when he's really available.
Really?
Yeah. So you just don't always know. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1, and here is Mr. Rico Beard. Hello, sir.
Hey, I was just, occasionally you watch news stories have nothing to do with sports, and you're just kind of like the criminals who escape from jail, and you're just like,
are they still out there?
Yeah. And the final one got caught. I would like to be in the room for the guys who decide we're going to rob the Louvre. We're going to go in there in Paris, and we're just going to steal all of this stuff.
You want to be in the room when they're planning it?
And just to be like, man, that's not going to work. No, we're just going to walk in there. We're going to take stuff off the wall. And we're going to walk right out. You would think that they would have state-of-the-art. Like, you see all these Ocean's 11 movies, right. And you would think it would be like laser beam stuff. They literally walked in there, grabbed it, and walked right out.
Well, didn't they slide down a ladder?
They went out a window and down a ladder was attached to a truck or something.
There was no jetpacks or anything, if that's what you're getting at.
You didn't have to rappel from the ceiling.
That's the brazenness of doing this in the middle of the day.
I think that's
as opposed to, trying to work at something after hours where
it's the too big to fail strategy, but it failed. Yeah. So I just find it fascinating. Like, no, Doug, seriously, you really just want to walk in? No, let's just walk in there. Gator, bring your truck. You got that ladder, right?
Yeah, I got
it. All right, back it up.
Yep.
We'll grab some stuff.
Anybody got a duffel bag?
Right. Yeah. We'll do a little bird call when we're ready. Caw-caw! Yeah. And then we just go.
I mean, trying to come off with a caper like this with today's technology, when there's cameras everywhere.
Man,
like,
how much weed did you smoke?
Right. It's almost like, the Louvre is like, go ahead, take stuff out. You're not going to go far. We'll find you. They're worried about it. And what it took a few days, and like, yeah, we got them.
They only got two of them, though, right? Isn't there four of them?
Right, but because I think they didn't think this was going to work. It's like you didn't have. What are we going to do next? It was just like, yeah, we're going to probably get caught. We made it. It's like the dog that finally catches the car. Now what?
Now what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, I love the story. I find it fascinating.
That's what the dog would do.
I want
a documentary. About this. I agree. This heist is amazing. What do you guys got planned coming up next?
Prisoners. Yes, I'm with you. You know what? I always love it when Mike has stuff he won't tell us, but he's going to interview Kenny and I for the potential MSU head coaching job. And
it's not open yet, that one?
That's not open yet, yeah. But it's...
Probably on Sunday, but yes.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. Talk a little bit of Lions as well, and I'm just going to have some fun.
All right. Have a great show, Rico.
You too.
I would like
enjoy your day. A little chilly out, brisk.
I'm okay with that. Love it. Stay safe, everybody. Treat each other with respect. 97.1.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.